Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. In January, the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, also known as CAL FIRE, announced it expected to receive $5 million in federal funding to support the California Forest Improvement Program. This leftover money from the Biden administration is part of the Department of Agriculture's Inflation Reduction Act. The funding will help strengthen financial incentives for private forest landowners to manage their forests sustainably and to permanently conserve private forests in partnership with states. Nearly $210 million was awarded as competitive grants to state agencies, for-profit entities, and a broad array of nonprofit organizations. Stuart McMorrow joins the exchange to discuss these challenges in forestry resilience amid the impact of climate change and changes in the White House. Stuart is the staff chief of the Wildfire Resilience Program at CAL FIRE. Welcome, Stuart.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, Stuart, let's start with your work at CAL FIRE. What do you do?
I am what's known as a staff chief, and that's just a fancy title for stating that I'm in charge of several programs within CAL FIRE that relate to private landowner assistance. One of those is the subject we're talking about today, the California Forest Improvement Program. The other is our entire reforestation program, and then I also oversee our forest conservation program.
So if you're the staff chief, you have a number of staff. How many?
I think about 35 right now. It's tripled over the last 10 years since I've worked there.
Okay. So what's the California Forest Improvement Program?
Well, it is a program that was put into law in 1978 in California, and its intention is to help private, non-industrial forest landowners to improve the forest conditions on their property. It has really remained constant through the last, 47 years since it was enacted, whereby we offer cost-share agreements with private landowners who own a piece of property that has at least 10% tree canopy cover on it, and we help them to define their forest management goals through helping them write a forest management plan for their property. We put them in touch with a registered professional forester to do that. And then we come up with a series of actions on their property that need to be taken, such as thinning or reforestation, for instance. And then we have a cost-share agreement that we establish with them where we will pay 75 to 90% of the costs of doing that work. And then it is a reimbursable program. So they would then go about doing the work, paying a contractor to do the various things, and then they invoice us for the costs. And so over the 47 years, I think we've treated at least 500,000 acres, if not more. Sometimes can be a little slow going because it's one landowner at a time. And so we've tried to come up with some different options over the years to expand that. But that's basically the program.
So I'm assuming that the money is to incentivize these private landowners to better steward their land because that benefits the public.
Absolutely. Forests and all the things they bring to our communities are a public trust entity. And so we are doing everybody a favor by helping the private landowners to get that work done. And as many of your listeners probably know, if they aren't already private landowners, it's often hard to have the money to get that stuff done, right? You might own the land, but finding the capital to then go do the other work that doesn't pay for itself is very challenging. The non-commercial forest management work is really hard to do on your own.
Well, there was an announcement made last month regarding the receipt of $5 million in federal funding. What's the status of that?
As far as we know, it's on hold right now, unfortunately. So we were awarded the funding. You were correct. It was a competitive grant process throughout the entire United States, and we were successful in receiving a $5 million grant award. And we were right on the cusp of launching that particular round of funding when the funds were stalled out. So I really couldn't say much else about it because we just don't know what's going on with it, unfortunately. The good news is CAL FIRE still has other funds to use in this program, but they are limited. And so we're hoping that something happens before, say, the end of this calendar year so that we can then tap into that new $5 million.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the work is ongoing. It hasn't been stagnant or stopped because the money has been put on hold. But that's just a stopgap until the end of the year.
Yes and no. We do receive some funding from our own state of California through various funding cycles and appropriations. And so the CFIP program, as we call it, is often special funded. So we're always trying to find a new way to get money out the door to help our private landowners in those small communities where they often live. The federal funding was just another one of those funding sources that we were going to utilize. $5 million is not a small amount of money, but we will make it, and we're hopeful that it will be, opened up or released is the word I was looking for, sorry. So work is ongoing with private landowners who have cost-share agreements, and on a quarterly basis, we are issuing new cost-share agreements with private landowners. We're usually issuing about, $1 million to $1.5 million in cost-share agreements every 3 months or so. So the projects are still going, and I encourage private landowners to get in touch with us if they want to learn more about it. And we're certainly here to help with just education and technical assistance at any time for private forest landowners who want to learn more about what they can do to their property.
How did you anticipate the funds would be used?
Well, for any given private landowner, they could have any number of things they need to do to their property. I like to use an example of just a 20-acre piece of property, say in northern Shasta County, for instance, just as an example. And it might not have had any thinning done to it for a long time. Maybe it has not experienced a wildfire. And so in some cases, we pay for the removal of the branches, the lower branches on the trees, thinning out the brush underneath the trees, and then thinning the forest, the trees themselves, so that we can reduce the potential for catastrophic wildfire when and if it happens. In other cases where maybe a person or a community has experienced a wildfire, we can pay for the removal of the dead material, and we call that site preparation. And then we can pay for the planting of new trees. So our goal is to help people have thriving, wildfire-resilient forests, and there's a lot of different ways to do that. It just depends on the conditions at hand.
My guest is Stuart McMorrow, the staff chief of the Wildfire Resilience Program at CAL FIRE. Stuart, how much land are we talking about that's privately owned, and how much is public land under the management of CAL FIRE?
Well, CAL FIRE itself only manages, and I'm guessing here, it's an estimate, about 75 to 80,000 acres, and that is contained in demonstration state forests. And that land is, it's not under my program, and my grants don't, we don't use our own money to pay for that. We actually harvest timber from those properties, and those properties pay for themselves, the management of them. But across California, I think about 60% of the property is federally owned, and CAL FIRE has no jurisdiction over managing that land. And then about another 15% is owned by private industrial timber landowners, and CAL FIRE, again, does not manage that land. CAL FIRE does interpret and enforce the forest practice rules, so that's our role there. And then on private non-industrial land, so that would be just private landowners who just might happen to own some forest land, who don't make their primary living off selling trees, that's about another 15% of the total land area of the state. And I have to apologize, the total acreage is not in my mind right now, so we're just going to have to go with estimates of percentages for the moment.
Oh, that's fine.
Around 15% is what my program helps out.
Yeah. Okay, and how many total private landowners would that 15% represent, you think?
I do not know. Do not have that number. That is an elusive number that we're actually trying to work on, because it takes a lot of work to try, to try and bring that number to bear, because you have to scour the databases of each of the individual counties, and it's just not something that's been done.
Oh.
So it's a good question, and we're working on it.
What about the total number of private landowners that are engaged in a financial partnership with your organization? You know that,
well,
that number?
Yeah, with Cal Fire's CFIP program itself, we have about maybe 150 individual ongoing cost share agreements at any time, roughly speaking. We are limited by the staff that we have. We're also limited by the number of registered professional foresters that exist out there as consulting foresters, because in this program, you need an RPF to actually help you write your plans and conduct the forest management work on your property by law, by the Forest Practice Act. So about 150 a year. Now, Cal Fire also offers forest health grants, which are much larger. I think the minimum size on those is $750,000. And we also offer wildfire prevention grants, and my program also offers wildfire resilience block grants. The total number of landowners that are engaged in that is not a number I was prepared to report here, because it's quite vast. Over the last 4 or 5 years, Cal Fire has received a lot of money through various budget proposals, as well as through the greenhouse gas reduction funds that have come to the department to help with the wildfire situation. So projects are ongoing all over the state right now. It's actually quite impressive. And I would have to query all the other programs in Cal Fire in order to give you that number. But I would say it's on the order of tens of thousands of private individual landowners who have been at least touched, if not currently undergoing some project work on their property right now.
Well, this is, I don't mean this question to sound ignorant, but why are there privately owned forests? Why doesn't the state just buy the land from the private landowners and manage it all?
That is, that's not an ignorant question, but you're not talking to a person who can really answer that very well. I'm not at liberty to express my own opinions on that subject, but I can say this. Public lands are vastly important for all of the people of the state of California, as well as private land ownership. And I think it has something to do with going back to the development of California as a state itself, and how the history in this state was an evolution from the missionary time frame to when the state was owned by Mexico to when the United States became an owner of, if you will, of the state of California, and it became a state itself. It's been quite a history here, and it's vastly different from the East Coast of the United States, where it's mostly private land.
Where do the indigenous tribes fit into the equation? Are they also getting paid to be good stewards of the forest lands?
They are. We are actually launching a tribal wildfire resilience grant program as we speak, and it is open right now with several million dollars available for tribes to engage in wildfire resilience on their lands. Cal Fire and others have been working quite a bit with the tribes across the state to help them not only be more free to do indigenous burning practices, but also to help them in cases where they own large tracts of forest land, not all of them do, to help them try and manage their land better. We're also trying to recognize the importance of traditional ecological knowledge and trying to incorporate some of those practices into the projects that we grant fund. So if you're starting to get the idea that Cal Fire gives out a lot of grants, but we don't necessarily do a lot of the work ourselves, that's pretty much the case. We exist to provide resources and technical assistance to people so that they can get this work done in advance of a wildfire, right? And then when the wildfire comes, of course, we're here to help with that too.
Well, thank you,
Stuart. And ironically enough, we're here to help after the fire.
I appreciate that. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today's exchange. Thank you for the work that you do.
Hey, thanks so much for the good questions, and thanks for having us on. We appreciate it.